Here is some of what architecture critics are saying about the new World War II memorial in Washington. An opulent, overbuilt civic plaza, and it fails to do its job. But there is one defender. It's Slate's Timothy Noah.
What is so awful about Washington's new World War II memorial? I respectfully dissent from the near-unanimous Bronx cheer critics have given the memorial, which was dedicated on Saturday. Blake Gopnik in the Washington Post wrote, "Our soldiers' worst enemies would have felt equally comfortable with its design." Here's Paul Goldberger in the New Yorker, "Banal and timid, overly concerned with being well-mannered." Just about everybody agrees with the National Coalition to Save Our Mall that the memorial drives a wedge between the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial, which previously were separated only by parkland and the reflecting pool, and that this is a bad thing. On this last point, yes. The famous vista of the mall from the top of the Lincoln Memorial steps is indeed altered, slightly. The distant Washington Monument now appears, at its base, to be encircled by two white bands, the oval marble walkways surrounding a fountain around which the World War II Memorial was built. It looks like a vaguely exotic necklace. I find this feminizing effect unobtrusive, even pleasant. And yes, the monument is done in white marble, which the critics find hopelessly unoriginal. But Pierre L'Enfant's mall and its environs are studded with white marble buildings, and using any other material would likely clash with that environment. A lot of white marble buildings in Washington feel too sepulchral and forbidding. That isn't the case with a World War II memorial. There are welcome areas of shade inside the pavilions commemorating the Pacific and Atlantic campaigns, and there's that big friendly fountain to dip your feet in. Once the crowds die down, I can easily imagine young lovers smooching here. Purists will frown, but smooching at war memorials is a venerable tradition in this country. Monuments are for the living. One especially pleasing aspect of the memorial is that it provides relief from the telephone book style that dominates memorials today, the endless lists of victims' names that commemorate large national events. Maya Lin started it with her Vietnam memorial. The approach works well there because Lin is a genius and because the Vietnam War seems, in retrospect, to have been largely about death. But that isn't true of World War II, not at least to succeeding generations. Would you like to see what a truly ugly war memorial looks like? I invite you to walk down the reflecting pool from the World War II memorial and take a gander at the Korean War Veterans Memorial, dedicated in 1995. It's a sort of anti-Vietnam memorial. As with Lin's, there's a black marble wall, but instead of names, it has pictures, and in front of these are rows and rows of sculptures depicting individual soldiers. Lin had resisted having any such sculptures in the Vietnam memorial, though in the end one was installed to mollify critics. The Korean memorial grabs your collar and shouts, "The Korean War was too worth fighting!" Hey pal, I never said it wasn't. The World War II memorial takes you away from the argument that the Vietnam and Korean memorials will shout at each other across the mall through eternity. Which is a relief. What a pleasure to experience, at long last, a war memorial that errs on the side of serenity.
Slate's Timothy Noah, and this is Day to Day from NPR News.